If political campaigns run on money and volunteers, if elections run on voters, political messaging then runs on something else, an emotion or many emotions. But the big one is fear.
There's a storm gathering.
The clouds are dark and the winds are strong.
And I am afraid.
Dukakis not only opposes the death penalty, he allowed first-degree murderers to have weekend passes from prison.
There is a bear in the woods. For some people, the bear is easy to see. Others don't see it at all.
They keep coming. 2 million illegal immigrants in California.
There's a scorpion in the desert. For most of us, its venom is a clear and deadly threat.
We must either love each other or we must die.
Does fear work in moving voters? Do scared voters change their positions? Is there a limit to negative dystopian campaign rhetoric? For a look at where real fear becomes a voter turnoff, we turn to Shaina Kushner-Gadarian, Associate Professor of Political Science at Syracuse University's Maxwell School and co-author of Anxious Politics, Democratic Citizenship in a Threatening World.
There are other emotions in politics other than anxiety, like enthusiasm and excitement and hope. And we can think of other election cycles where we've seen some more of those more positive emotions. But in terms of how do we separate out fear from other things in politics, part of what our book is doing is looking at when fear comes into politics, what are the consequences? And it's not the case that people are anxious all the time about all issues. Issues need to be relevant to people's lives. They need to be thinking about them, be cognizant of them for them to feel an emotion about them. So what we do in the book is Bethany Albertson and I are experimentalists, so we actually spend a lot of time making people anxious about politics, which turns out is not that hard. And
yeah.
We look at issues that we have seen in politics in the last 10 years that have created anxiety, so immigration, public health, climate change. And then we look at the consequences on what kind of news people want, what kind of policies they're interested in, and who they actually trust in times of crisis.
All right. So what you're doing here is testing the notion that, say, for instance, if somebody wanted to make a person scared about Barack Obama, you would do, as was the case back in the 2008 election, inject this. What about the 3 a.m. phone call?
It's 3 a.m. and your children are safe and asleep. But there's a phone in the White House and it's ringing. Something's happening in the world. Your vote will decide who answers that call. Whether it's someone who already knows the world's leaders, knows the military, someone tested and ready to lead in a dangerous world. It's 3 a.m. and your children are safe and asleep. Who do you want answering the phone?
I'm Hillary Clinton, and I approve this message.
Does that work?
It doesn't work all the time. So, and it doesn't work under all circumstances with all political communicators. So, again, anxiety as an emotion is about uncertainty and about negative consequences. So the 3 a.m. phone call is all about uncertainty. And given that anxiety is and fear are kind of basic emotions in evolution. They are a signal to us that there is some threat in the environment. It is not that hard to evoke uncertainty with these kinds of messages. That being said, again, there's limitations on this.
So the question becomes, can Trump mine fear out of voters who are already aligned with Hillary Clinton? And can Hillary Clinton effectively, you know, get people scared of Trump or remind them that they're already scared of Trump? Which is going on there?
Well, so I think there are, like you said, there are two different things going on here. One is a kind of anxiety producing messages from the Trump campaign about policy issues, that is crime, terrorism, that he hopes will create a sense that the world is uncertain and the only person to keep you safe is Donald Trump.
He's going beyond uncertainty. I mean, he's saying it's a disaster, that the disaster,
sure,
I mean, he's using hyperbole. Does that work?
If you look at the RNC speech, is essentially a kind of 45-minute argument about fear. It's a fear appeal, is to say the world is uncertain, it is dangerous, and the Obama administration is to blame for that. And that the only person who can keep you safe is Donald Trump. I couldn't have written that better for an experiment if I had tried, in terms of it's all about uncertainty and then the solutions. Does it work? It depends on the messages that go along with fear. When people are feeling anxious, what they want to do is they want to feel better. So they want to turn to leaders and turn to institutions that have solutions for them. They don't just want to turn to people who are going to continually remind them of that anxiety. They're actually trying to resolve it.
So fear by itself is bad.
Fear by itself is not particularly effective as a message. The fear when it's linked to solutions is a much more effective message. So if you are going to buy the message from Donald Trump that the world is a disaster, and I think, you know, you can look around and say things might be scary, you also have to buy his solution, which is that he alone is the only one to be able to solve this anxiety. And this is different than the kinds of messages that Hillary Clinton says, which is, one, that you should feel anxious about this character rather than about policy. But she also, when she tells people to be anxious about things, offers policy solutions, which just tends to be more effective as a message.
I have had conversations with people over the last week and a half where just talking about this election reduces them to tears. I mean, people are so nervous and freaked out about this election, wherever they're coming from on this whole thing. Where does it all go on November 9th, this anxiety? I mean, does everyone have to go to the pharmacy?
I mean, my co-author and I have been joking that if we could kind of pharmaceutically create a kind of antidote to political anxiety, we could make a lot of money. But that's not our we're political scientists, so we can't do that. But I think, again, anxiety is a lot about uncertainty. And so the resolution of that uncertainty should help many people. So just knowing what happens the night of November 8th should help lots of people feel better.
Shana Kushner-Guderian, thank you so much.
Thank you.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.